pick you up on your feet and keep you walking in your sleep.
Yes, the little one. Everything's going to be alright. Everything is going to turn out just fine. As a matter of fact, everything is alright. You are listening right now to Tippy Talk, and it is time to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful, all the wonderful sounds. And now it's time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Felsenstein.
Feeding tubes at your birth, I milk your life for all that's worth. It's the cure they want to kill and keep you living on me.
Today, I'm going to continue and tell you about my dilemma of my mother being in the hospital, because as long as she's in the hospital, I'm not doing anything else other than staying with her all day. Although my family is helping me with a night shift, but still I'm there all day. Like right now, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. The volunteer that was there at night, whoever that was, because my family arranged that, is leaving at 8 o'clock. So if I'm not there between now and any time, if I'm not there, nobody is there. And as you'll know from listening to the first and the second day that I've told you about the hospital, when nobody is there, she's really not being taken care of. So I'm going to tell you about yesterday, and I also realized that was a little bit confusing because I'm telling you now, it's Friday morning, and I'm going to tell you about what happened Thursday, which was yesterday. And yesterday, Thursday morning, I told you about what happened on Wednesday, because Wednesday I was already there. So now it's Friday morning, and today I'm going to tell you what happened on Thursday. So she's been in the hospital. She was taken to the hospital last week, Thursday night, where we went to the emergency room. And in the emergency room, we got there at 9 o'clock at night, and by 10 o'clock, they decided that she needed an MRI. And from 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 30, almost 6 hours later, they were finally able to give her the MRI and to determine what was going to be the next move, which, of course, they pretty much already knew that she was going to stay in the hospital because they already took an X-ray. They already had a blood sample, they already had a urine sample, they already had all that, but they were not going to say anything to me at all until they had the MRI. So why would someone in the emergency room have to wait 6 hours for an MRI? I don't know if that's a normal thing for every hospital, but it just doesn't seem normal to me that it takes 6.5 hours all night long just to get an MRI. And I didn't know why. And yesterday, the doctor told me that this hospital was actually turned into a trauma center in January, which means that all the trauma incidents in the area come to that hospital. And they always take priority over anybody that isn't a life and death situation, obviously. And so there were a lot of people being brought in after she was brought in, and since all she needed was an MRI to get out of the emergency room, she had to wait. And I just found out about that yesterday. I think I probably would have taken her to a different hospital if I would have known that it is a trauma center and that she would have to wait so many hours because meanwhile she's in pain. Meanwhile, she has a tube inserted in her to get what they called a clean urine sample. And meanwhile, it caused an infection, which was another complication she didn't really need. So that's why I thought it might be a little bit confusing to understand what I'm talking about. So today, I'm going to talk about what happened yesterday on Thursday when I got there. And so before I start, I want to give you the quote for today, which is by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was an author and a psychiatrist. And what she said was, learn to get in touch with the silence within yourself and know that everything in life has a purpose. And to me, that's really important because we go through all kinds of ups and downs. And when we're up and everything is going great, I don't think we sit down and search for a purpose. But I guess when things are not going great, then you kind of wonder, why is this happening? And of course, now I'm wondering, why is this happening? Why is she in the hospital? Why is my mother so sick? Why does she have to suffer so much? And I guess that's what I'm going to be searching for, the purpose. And that's my quote, my first quote for today. But I'd like to have a second quote just kind of to fill up the gap between this and the story that I'm going to tell you about the hospital. And the second quote is by Thomas Fuller. And he said that he, and I'm going to explain to you the quote, but it has a beginning, but I'm just going to give you the last two lines. That he does not believe who does not live according to his belief. Okay? You can hear beeping outside from my window. Every morning they beep like crazy around here. So I'm going to repeat that. That he does not believe who does not live according to his belief. So he, I believe, is referring to God. Okay? So Thomas Fuller said that. And what he meant was that you can say you believe in God, but what good does it do when you do not trust God to get you out of a jam you're in? Of course, if you think you're in big trouble, you are, because your thoughts, of course, create your reality. And that's how much you can trust God. You've been given the tools with which to create your own experience. Understand and have faith that your trust and your faith will basically be the glue that helps you create your own experience. And that's really one of the New Age principles. You've been given the tools in with which to create your own experience. Yes. But what happens with the New Age movement that lately I found out that is kind of a little bit scary is they're kind of fading out the faith in God or fading out God altogether. But that's another story for another day. Because today I'm going to tell you what happened yesterday. And I came to the hospital actually at 9 o'clock. But nobody was there from 7, 8, 9. That's 2 hours. But there was nowhere for me to park the car. And so I had to drive around for almost an hour. And I didn't get really up to the hospital until 10 o'clock. And again, her breakfast was standing on the table. But this time, because I mentioned something yesterday about her having to eat, a nurse came in and she had a little bit of oatmeal and a scrambled egg. And they also gave her a toast. So a nurse came in maybe at 9 o'clock when they served the breakfast and gave her 2 bites of the oatmeal. And that was it. If I wouldn't have came, she would not have eaten anything. So I ran out and I found the nurse and I said to her, why did you just give her 1 or 2 bites? And she says, oh, she didn't seem interested. She didn't seem interested? Excuse me? What does she have to do, salivate for you to complete feeding her? And so, of course, now you understand why I have to be there, or she would have starved until 1 o'clock when they would have brought lunch, and then the nurse maybe would have given her one bite, maybe not. So that was an ongoing problem, which I don't think is going to change, and that's why I'm going to be heading out to the hospital right now to make sure that she does have breakfast, because I'm pretty sure the nurse is not going to give it to her, but I'm going to let you know tomorrow what happened today. So then the hospital did not change her. They changed her. Her bed was totally wet, maybe 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. That's what I was told. And now I'm sitting there till 12:30. And so 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 7 hours they didn't change her, which means that probably around 3 hours she was lying in wet urine. So not only can she develop bed sores, she can also develop rashes. It's acidy, so it burns your skin. And so that's neglect. That's abuse by neglect. So now you understand why I really want to get her out of there. I'm going to do today everything in my power to get her out of the hospital, because at home she's always clean, she's taken care of. And then another thing, in the hospital she's lying in bed, and the physical therapist is supposed to come and get her up a little bit, exercise. Well, on Wednesday she didn't even show up, or I think she walked in and out. She looked at her on Tuesday, she came in, pulled her up out of the pillow and back down to the pillow. That was the extent of a physical therapy. Totally not acceptable. And yesterday, Thursday, which is what I'm talking about today, she didn't even bother showing up at all. So at home, she's going to get a personal physical therapist that will get her up every single day. And one of the reasons she's even in the hospital and she developed the blood clot is because she hasn't been moving. So that makes it even worse. And so today I am going to do everything in my power to bring her home, because yesterday the health status that we found was a little bit fluid in her lungs. And how did I find out about that little bit of fluid in her lungs? Because when I came in the morning, somebody told me that she was coughing all night. I heard her coughing a little bit in the morning. They were going to release her, but they said that because they found a little bit of fluid, I went to the doctor and I told them she was coughing and that I was concerned that hopefully she doesn't have bronchitis or pneumonia. And so he said, fine. So before we release her, because they were going to release her yesterday, let's do what he called a CAT scan. This was 11 o'clock in the morning. And so I said, sure, that makes sense. We don't want to release her with that, and we don't want to release her coughing. So we had to wait now for him to look at the CAT scan before he can release her. So 12 o'clock, no CAT scan. 1 o'clock, no CAT scan. Also, when he mentioned a CAT scan, again, he told me he wanted to open her up and insert a filter around the blood clot, which, again, another procedure that may or may not be necessary, but she's on a blood thinner. I am totally opposed to it, but I'm not going to argue about it now. Now, it was time to go to the CAT scan. So 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Did I expect them to do a CAT scan? Not really. And that's exactly when I asked what's going on, and I was informed that the hospital actually turned into a trauma center, and that's why it's going to take a while for them to be able to do a CAT scan. Well, by 4 o'clock, I realized it was definitely not going to happen. By 5 o'clock, it still didn't happen. So the guy shows up to do a CAT scan at 5:45, and I had asked the doctor to sedate her before they take her for the CAT scan, because she gets so terrified of being pushed in, shoveled from one place to the other, one bed to the other, and they just kind of shuffle you over. It's not like it's a gentle move. And then stuck into a machine where she doesn't know where she's going, so I asked him to sedate her. So the guy shows up at 5:45, okay, this was ordered at 11 o'clock in the morning, And I say to the nurse, well, you're going to see Data. And she's like, oh, I didn't know I had to. Nobody told me. So the guy takes off and says, I'll be back in a half an hour, which you know he's not going to be back in a half an hour. And she says that she has to get an order. So I had to run to somebody, which was the PA, to give the order to let her know to sedate them. And she tells me that they don't tell her when they come. So how is she going to know to do it? So now she has to try to coordinate with them when they're going to come, but they don't answer the phone. So that's a catch-22 situation. I can't give her the sedation because I don't know when they're going to show up. But when they show up, they're not going to wait for her to do it. So they're going to take off. And she can't get discharged until they do it. So once again, for sure, the discharge is going to be postponed. It's not going to happen on Thursday because we have to get the result of the CAT scan. I also learned yesterday the difference between a CAT scan and the MRI. The MRI machine is big. It's kind of a tube where you go inside, and the CAT scan is a tube, but it's a small one, so you don't really go inside of it. It's not as scary for people. But I still wanted her to be sedated. So I don't understand that procedure, and the PA and the nurse both tell me that's just the way it is. They come, they don't tell us, we don't know when to give it to her, so we really can't do it. But somehow they figured out a way to work it out where she was going to sedate her and the guy was going to come back. So she gives her the pill to sedate her because he says he's going to be back in a half an hour. And she doesn't fall asleep. And he's not there. So the half hour was, of course, an hour and a half. And he showed up exactly when they served dinner. And she's still not sleeping. So we take her downstairs anyway. The nurse tells me, don't worry, it's going to kick in before they put her in the machine. We go downstairs. We take the CAT. We go into that room where they do the CAT scan. And they told me I could be there next to her. But, of course, they kick me out of the room. And they lock the doors behind me. So I don't know what they're doing. She's not asleep yet. So they're going to put her in. Now they're not checking for the water that the doctor told me they were going to check for that fluids in her lungs. They're actually going to x-ray the blood clot and see the situation that it's in. Again, I think that was because he's trying to justify the fact that he wants to input a filter in her. And he knows that I'm against another procedure that does have severe side effects and possible consequences that we don't want. So they kick me out of the room and she's still not asleep. And they do the CAT scan. They insert some kind of a fluid in her. Again, that fluid still needs to be cleansed out through her liver, but they still do it. They bring her out totally awake. 2 minutes after they bring her out from the CAT scan, that's when she falls asleep. So that was great. They timed it in a way that she was sedated after the CAT scan and she was terrified while they did the CAT scan. So the discharge was postponed for tomorrow, which is Friday, today. And I have to sit around and wait for them to do that. So let me see if I covered everything that happened yesterday. Other than the fact that, again, they didn't change her all morning and they did not change her and let her lie in urine in a wet bed all afternoon and didn't clean her until about an hour before the CAT scan. So it might have been about 4:35 o'clock. And then the oxygen level, which is what they were concerned about, and they said on Wednesday that they weren't sending her home until the oxygen level was stabilized. Well, that was stabilized on Wednesday. That was doing fine. Not after she was traumatized with the CAT scan again. It went down, and it took us 3-4 hours to get it back to normal. I had to really calm her down. So now her blood pressure is good. Her oxygen level is good. It looks like she can go home. The oxygen tank is waiting next to her, the portable one. They're waiting to deliver the oxygen home. Today, my job is to go there and to do everything in my power to bring her home. So I am going to I was supposed to be there at 12 o'clock, but since nobody else seems to step up, I'm going to try to get there as early as I can, because I was there 12 hours yesterday. So basically the way it's working is I'm there between 8 to 12 hours, and then everybody else is there maybe 3 hours here, 4 hours, 5 hours there. But that's usually the way it is. But luckily for me, last week on Saturday, I had all night Friday night off, all day Saturday I was home. But all day long Saturday, I kind of wanted to go to the hospital really badly because I was so concerned about them sticking a tube to help her breathe down her throat, which I knew would cause another infection, as did the urinary tract tube. So I was very concerned about that, and I was very worried that my sister who was there would allow them to do it. But I stopped myself from going. And thank God, when I got there on Saturday night, the tube was gone. I mean, it was not there at all to begin with. They never put it in. Thank God, thank God, thank God. So it's been a very rough week for me. I've been in the hospital every single day, all day, did nothing else. Yesterday, I had plans for 12 o'clock appointment. I had something in the evening I had to do. I just canceled everything. I didn't even bother doing anything. And so I'm really hoping that they're going to release her today. I know that she's well enough to be released because they're already not doing much for her over there and neglecting her with a lot of different things. And so wish me luck. I'm on my way today. And I'm hoping that I will be able to do what I have to do. We've come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk. It's been wonderful chatting with you today, and thank you for joining us. Don't forget, we want your story. We're here to listen to your story and share your gift. It can be any story. It does not have to be inspirational or special because of two things. We here at Tippy Talk know that your story is special and we want to hear it. And the other thing is that you're the focus of this show. You've been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Felsenstein. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. Join us here on Tippy Talk every Monday at 5 p.m., even though we are transitioning now to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So look out for 5 or 7, you will be notified. For more insight and information that help you grow and prosper in a more powerful life. And what's your story? Tell us right here on Tippy Talk, the story of your life, your journey, and your pleasure. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the music and allow it to heal you. So you can pause it and think about what you want to have healed, because this is a very powerful shamanic music that will help you and make your healing thoughts more powerful. It's kind of like a magnifier to your thoughts. So right here it is. Close your eyes and enjoy the music.